Ola, what's happening? This the Maniacal Menace Councilman speaking from the future about the past and the present. I finally get to talk to my young funny brother DC Paul. Hey, when you got it, you got it. We chatted up, we dropped some knowledge. If you think it's bad, change your language. It gets so much better, there's a brighter side. Listen up and enjoy these words. You can follow me at maniacalmenace.com, maniacalmenace on Instagram. That's MANIACALMENACE. I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
No, you're good. You can continue singing if you'd like.
No.
Yeah,
no.
The microphone's on now. So, how you feeling?
Good, brother. How you feeling?
I'm good. What's up? God damn it. Welcome back. We had another edition of Tell Me a Joke, man. The guideline of chasing the dream. I am here with the homie, longtime member of the Young Funny Crew, man, DC Paul, the Millennial Arsenio.
Hey.
How you been, sir?
What's up, y'all? All you listeners?
The listeners. We are basically in the future, in the past, kind of, sort of, because whenever they hear this, it's gonna be past time, past tense, but you know, this is dream chasing, so people gotta understand the plight that a motherfucker has to had to have gone through to get to where they're at now. To sit back down, sitting with you again face to face, my nigga. Yeah,
feels good. That's deep though. So when they listen to it, it's gonna be in the present,
mm-hmm.
even though it was done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the future from now.
Yeah, speaking to the future.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That made me tingle a little bit on this.
Yeah, side. Like that's how I intro them all like that now. This is the Maniacal Menace speaking from the future to the past from the present.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so.
Then what's up?
Yeah. I still kept that in there, you know, from the video that we had. All right, cool. But man, sorry, get the blood lit. Oh man, I'm back in New Orleans. It's been good. Fucking Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was nice. I actually got to be home for Thanksgiving. Due to unseen circumstances that I saw was coming. So I can't really say they're unseen. But, you know, I'm glad to be here now. And I'm here with the homie, man, who's gave me fucking vital information yesterday. Which was key to actually continuing this journey. Like,
I'm glad I could do that.
Yeah. If you want to go ahead and reiterate on what you was, what the knowledge that you was giving me yesterday.
I was high, so you got to refresh my memory on what I said.
Oh, about your language.
Oh, that part. Okay, yeah. Yes, I would like to talk about that. And I'm going to start with talking about me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I a few months ago, had got into a depressive rut, thinking that everything I was doing was, everything just felt monotonous. It was the same thing every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Saturday. And I was feeling the, just feeling like it's nothing new.
Right.
And then I was advised to change my language. You know, like you can describe the exact same situation that you're in, but with different language. And it helps out immensely. First of all, it helps out you emotionally. When you stop saying, oh, I'm so depressed, I'm so mad, I hate this. Instead, you say, and gratitude was what you changed the language to. So, like, I'm grateful that I have these opportunities. I'm grateful for the air in my lungs and my friends and the breath. And then after you describe the same situation you're currently in, you start talking about how you want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying, like, I'm looking forward to XYZ. I'm looking forward to new things, and I'm looking forward to healing, or, you know, so yeah, and it worked for me like a charm. So I'd always advise people to just change
kinda,
the language.
Kind of like a placebo effect. kind of like you're giving yourself positive affirmations to live by, you know, and that's going to definitely continue from there on. I like it. I see when I used to go to certain people's houses, people would have their affirmations written on the window or the mirror or something like that. And I was like, well, that's a waste of lipstick. All right? I probably wouldn't put it all in the mirror forever. But, you know, that's good. That's what gets them through in life. And I think you need those. You need those, like, those little staples, those little sticky notes of little affirmations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to keep you going. Because there's so many things out here that'll hinder you or make you want to second guess or, you know, fucking rethink your situation after you've been in it for so long. Like, we've been at this grind for a minute now. Like, when did you first realize that you wanted to do comedy?
I don't know. Like, I think that even after I had kind of found my stride, you know, doing open mics, I kind of figured out what works for me as a comedian. Mm-hmm. I think I was still doing that without even thinking, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to become. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's been a gradual thing. And I hate to say this because it sounds super cliche and everybody say this, but I think comedy might have chose me.
Yeah. Yeah. I've told people I had no idea that I was going to be a comedian, that I wanted to do comedy. But my whole life was kind of set for me to be a comedian until somebody put the imagery in my head that, like, hey, you seem like you should be doing comedy. That's when the wheels started turning right then and there. But before then, I was just like, oh man, comedy's amazing. I like comedy. I like funny shit. This is cool. You know, I wish I could do that. Never thinking that, oh, this could be me if I just give it some time. Yeah, I never thought of that. So it's good to be in this realm because now there's so many people out here chasing this dream, doing what we're doing. But
I'm gonna say I hate it, but I do think that some people see us on stage and see us doing our thing, and they assume it looks easy. I guess it looks easy, and they assume it is easy. So there's so many opportunities for people to try it. I would never tell somebody not to try it if you're curious and you want to do it. But so many opportunities and open mics for people to try it. And now there's so many comedians, you know. And I never thought I made it look easy. You know what I mean? Like, for somebody to be like, oh, I want to do what he do. That look like something I could do. Yes, it is something you could do, but, like,
yeah, it's not easy.
You got to do it? I'm doing it already.
I'm doing it now. You ain't got to do it. Like, Jesus, if you don't tell me that you're going to go do it and just do it so I can be surprised that you're doing it. Like, just don't come up, oh, man, this looks like I can do this. Yeah, all right, you go ahead. You go ahead and wait that 5 minutes. You know, find out when you're next in line and then go stand next to the stage in front of the crowd and wait that 5 minutes for that person to get off stage and tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel then and see if you still want to keep doing it. Because I've been doing this for 8 years now. Last night I almost shit myself just because the nervousness is... I was at Carnival. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, still, doesn't matter how long I've been doing it. Like, I still get the nervous guts, like, from time to time. Some places I don't, because some places I'm like, oh, I'm going to knock this out the park because I have that confidence now. But sometimes, like, if I ain't done it in a minute, it still feels like, oh, man, I'm scared right now. And it is a very scary feeling because you don't really know how the crowd's going to react, how things are going to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I fucking, what fucked me up last night, there was these people in the goddamn audience. And, like, it was they were in the thickets of the crowd. So, you know, if they're saying shit, you ain't really going to hear it through all the laughter. But if you, like, pinpoint and direct their conversation, if you see that actual conversation, and the conversation was like, oh, man, this motherfucker's going to say this motherfucker's going to say that. Talking negative about the show, basically. And me hearing that, I'm like, oh, it changed my perspective on, like, the whole crowd's going to be like this now. Instead of just that motherfucker being salty.
Just when you was in the crowd or you was on stage?
I was in the crowd.
Okay.
I was in the crowd. Just because of that motherfucker, overhearing him being salty, I took that and just ranged it with the whole crowd. And that fucked me up. Like, so when I got the stage, I was scared mentally.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, mentally fucking frightened myself because of that. And I was like, I don't know why. And then I proceeded to fucking smash it. It was a good time. But, I mean, it fucking humbled me and brought me back to, like, oh, nigga, yeah, we still in these trenches here. Even though we have an arsenal with us, you know, we still have to fire that arsenal. Like, it doesn't matter. Nigga, what if your gun jam? Nigga, yeah. It doesn't matter how good your gun is. If your gun jam, goddammit, you're going to have a bad day.
I was doing a killer set one time at Carnival and bit my tongue in the middle of it.
Like, for real, bit your tongue?
Bit my tongue.
Oh,
bit
shit.
Bit my tongue and, like, couldn't even, like, get my words out for the rest of the joke and ended up stopping my set early because that's like you're gun jamming.
Yeah.
And I know I got great ammunition in this gun.
Wow.
Bit my tongue and I was like, I can't
wild. I've spilled a beer and shit on stage, which kind of like startled me. Or like when I've never bit my tongue before though. Mm. Goddamn interesting. Yeah. So, how was your childhood?
So much for segues, huh? How was my childhood? I grew up with both of my parents in the home. I'm the middle child of three boys. My parents were also foster parents. So, I have two foster sisters and a foster brother that we still keep in contact with to this day.
Oh.
And my childhood, man, I can't complain because I love who I am now, and everything that happened in my childhood helped to shape who I am now.
Right.
You know, my parents were always, and my mother is still super supportive of whatever I choose to do.
Like, which is good. A support system is always
whatever
nice.
I choose to do, bro. My dad had bought me a keyboard, a guitar, a drum machine, anything that I might have showed a little bit of interest in.
Yeah.
They was down for it. So, like, probably why I just feel so free to just be myself and say whatever I want to nowadays. I didn't grow up with somebody telling me not to.
Hence why I asked you how is your childhood, because most of the time, most people's creativity kind of forms from them being a child and how they were raised. Mm-hmm. So you being the outspoken free person that you are is because you've had that since you was a child. Like you was able to go ahead and expound on like whatever abilities you figured that you had, like keyboard. Do you know how to play the keyboard?
I can do this and that. Mm-hmm. I can play a few songs. Not like I can't play keyboard, but I memorized like A Whole New World and Chopsticks and
A little Beethoven Symphony. Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. Like everybody, it's important. Is it not Beethoven's?
I don't know who. That's got a name in like a German or something. I forget.
Somebody's gonna figure it out. Liberace.
Right, somebody's gonna. Mm. It's not Liberace.
It's not Liberace.
But I guess when it comes to creativity, you know, I'm the middle child of three boys, and I always think about this nowadays. We always had whatever the current game system was. We had it from the Coleco, the
it's
Atari,
like
the Sega, the Nintendo, all of it. But it's three of us, so like I could sit around and wait my turn, and when it's my turn, I'm going to lose immediately because I ain't had time to get good.
At
like,
it.
Yo,
yeah.
So when it's my turn, I'm going to wait until one of you niggas lose, and then I'm going to jump on. I'm going to lose immediately. After a while, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go play on this keyboard. I'm going to go draw some pictures. I'm about to go dance or, you know, outside and skate. But something, you know, I feel like creative outlets were just my alternative to being bored at my house. And I feel like me and my older brother are closer in age, but I feel like my older brother and my younger brother maybe had more in common.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, I would make attempts to get in on whatever they was doing and play with them. And after a while, I was like, you know what? I think it's just me.
I think I just better play. I think I just rather play by myself.
I think I'm out here. I'm out here alone. Two brothers. I'm out here by myself.
Right. Yeah. I like we was speaking about this yesterday. How myself, I was alone a lot. I had friends, but being punished really keeps you.
Talked about your childhood punishment lasting a full year.
Yeah, full year,
after
man.
The ass whooping, you still punished for a year.
Still punished.
Then they took your dough off the hinge and put it in the attic. The like, nigga, what did you do?
I think I was just bad. I think I was just bad at school.
No. All boys are bad.
Yeah,
what
that's
did
true.
You do?
I, you know what? It wasn't. I think I got my door taken off the hinges because my dad found porno mags in my room. And he was like, no, you don't get privacy since you're trying to hide things. And he was like, give me your dough, nigga. And he took the dough.
Oh, that is not how you respond to a child. It's good that, you know, as times change.
As you get older, you learn
things,
now.
You know,
because
like the spanking and the 1 year punishment ain't it. But if your child has curiosities about sex, you don't punish them, or, you know, if you find out they were doing something sexual or have magazines or whatever, mm-hmm. that's a great opportunity to have a conversation about just sex and sexuality and sexual yeah. health with yeah. your child.
Never had sex ed in school. Because now
you could traumatize a child. Like, you punish them for having porn, they're going to associate pornography with some kind of punishment. You know,
this has been good for parents back then to have known.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, like, you want the child to grow up with a healthy sexual mentality.
Right.
And a grasp of their own sexuality. So, like, when they're, I guess, you having those porno magazines is you exploring your sexuality, you know, and who knows what's the right age for a child to do that. What were you, 13, 12?
13, 14.
I think that's about the right age to have curiosity about your body, about sex, to be looking at magazines and porn and stuff. So, hell no, how you punish somebody for that?
Yeah. And it wasn't just like, oh, I'm punished for the whole year. It was like, I kept fucking up to where it just kept adding on to the entire year of me being punished.
Because I don't believe punishing you for a full year made you not want to look at pussy no more.
Like, no, not at all.
You never want to see a pussy again after not this, Kyle. Not at all.
No. My brother was legit punished for a year. Like, his punishment went to the extent of like, oh, this is this first 6 months, and now you got to do this next 6 months. And now we talking about punishment. Like, I don't know what type of punishment people give nowadays or what type of punishment you thinking the motherfuckers think about. I'm talking about no going outside, nigga, no TV, nigga. When you get home from school, you go straight to your room and you go either open a book, you go draw something, or you go listen to the radio, nigga. That's it. You don't get nothing else. You come down to eat for dinner and go your ass back upstairs if you had a two-story house. If not, you just go to your fucking respectable place.
We grew up in
a
damn shotgun.
Oh, shotguns. Fucking can't stand a shot. Every house I was in, it was a two-story up until this one. So I've always...
Oh, yeah. Your other house on the West Bank was a nice two-story, too.
Yeah, I always lived a decent life. It was just, my dad was very strict, and he didn't play that shit at all. So, you know, there was places and things that I couldn't go that people were a lot younger than me. They had all the freedom, but most of them were white, too. So, white folks didn't care about their kids back then. Back in the 90s, white folks definitely didn't care about their kids.
I don't That's remember funny. Meeting your dad.
I don't
remember meeting your daddy.
No, I don't think anybody's ever met my dad.
And I also don't hear you talk much about him.
I used to have bits about him in the earlier stages, but that was just because it was a Veterans Day. You know, he's in the Air Force, so
still in the Air Force.
No, they're retired now. Okay. Yeah, both my dad and my stepmom. Actually, when I go back out there, I'm gonna talk to them. Because I want to talk to my mama, I want to talk to my dad and my stepmom, and just about, you know, how I was raised, how I was being raised, and why they chose to raise me the way they
did.
Fuck yeah, bitch. My dad has already came to me and apologized. He was like, I'm sorry, we didn't know. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that was going to fuck y'all up, how we raised y'all. I mean, it was a good way to raise. I mean, we're able to take care of ourselves and be on our own. Like, I told somebody that, nigga, I'm 34 now, and I just moved back with my people, okay? Because of this bullshit that happened. I don't plan to stay on there long, but they want a motherfucker back anyway. But I've been gone since 18. I've been out of my parents' tutelage since the age of 18, getting it. So, nigga, that was before Katrina, and nigga, after Katrina. So, just understand, motherfuckers been out here fucking working, basically. Working, hustling, getting it how they live. And yeah, I did well, nigga. He's my affirmations. Nigga. I was able to afford my own Mustang. I bought basically the cars that I bought. I bought the cars that I wanted, and so I'm like, oh, I don't think I would have been able to do this if I didn't have the structure or stability that my dad instilled in me.
That's true.
Because of how I was raised. So I'm kind of thankful. I mean, it was shitty. It was very shitty. It was very shitty, nigga. Being punished for a very long time that makes you one with your thoughts. And
you know what's funny? People think I'm like strict and super structured and shit nowadays, and I do nowadays believe in structure for certain things, but like
mm-hmm.
my mom, I remember for years she was like, you just go whichever way the wind blows. You ain't got no structure. I think it was the word she would use. Like, she thought I was just a free spirit, but like a hippie. Like, you just whatever come about, you gonna do it. If this, you know, pretty much the opposite of who I am now. Because now I'm like,
Like, if you don't want to do something,
done right, you know, and it ain't going to be like, I don't like leaving things up to chance and making things, you know, look haphazard. So nowadays it's possibly overly structured.
Yeah.
And a little rigid.
Yeah. Know? Very, very militant. You have a very militant mindset when it comes to tackling situations. And that shit there, it's not all of us in the group are like that. Like you are that one. Yeah, that is your attribute.
I don't know when and how I developed that. I don't know when and how.
Was it not in the military? How were you in the military? I was never
in the military.
Where were you in?
Nothing. I was in Afghanistan and Iraq and Dubai and Kuwait working as a civilian. I've never been in the military.
Oh, shit. Nigga, all this time, I thought...
I was in the military?
I was like, who the fuck just goes to Afghanistan?
A bunch of people.
Why?
You know how much money I was making in Afghanistan?
No, because I thought you were in the military. Oh. I was like, yeah, of course he's going to make money going to Afghanistan. He's in the military.
Civilians, I think, get paid more.
What?
I was doing IT, like the computer stuff I was doing at Ochsner when we first met. I was working at Ochsner. Computer stuff.
Nigga, you know what? I just assumed it was military. So I don't think you've ever said anything military. I just assumed that much because I'm like, who the fuck just goes to Afghanistan?
I was contracting first for the Department of Defense, so I worked with the military. And then I did that for 2 years. I came to the States for like 5 or 6 months. I was living in Maryland. Then I went back out to Afghanistan, this time working for NATO on a different contract. The first time, it was just... it was in Kabul, which is like the capital city of Afghanistan, and that's where all of the embassies, like the UK embassy, the German embassy, the American embassy, is all in Kabul, which is like the big metropolitan city. And then the second time I went out there, I was in Herat, which is the western province, and I was working there on an anti-narcotics mission.
Oh.
Yeah. You know that, like...
What? Did you have a gun?
Poppy seeds and... I had access to a gun. I knew where it was. Yeah, you know, we had training. And
Course you would have. I would assume you would have to have something.
Yeah, but, you know, there were soldiers, Air Force, Navy, Army, Marines, around me constantly. And they had guns on them. So, like, for me, it was knowing where it is in case one of these guys on around and something happened. You go to this room, put in this code, you know, and only if you need it.
Only if you really need it. Yeah. Wow, son, that's wild.
I'm tired of talking about this. I feel like every podcast I've been on, that comes up some kind of way.
Why? But it's not something that you talk about with me, at least, nigga. Yeah. I've never known
that.
You
never heard me say that? Okay.
No. So I mean, but niggas don't really ask
you
that.
You thought I was, I don't know, right? But so you just thought I was just an uptight Army dude.
I thought that was why. The militant side of you. I was like, yeah, that nigga was in the military. He went to Afghanistan and everything. Nah.
I was in Afghanistan wearing sweaters, bitch. It's okay. Fucking uniform. I had on button downs under the sweater. I was too fly for Afghanistan. People look at me like, does he know he in Afghanistan? All this fucking dust in the air and this nigga got an old polo sweater on. I was that nigga.
Oh, that's fucking interesting facts to know. Wow. Well, that's cool as shit.
Yeah, so you got to miss it sometimes too.
Yeah, well, yeah, I would assume so. I would like to at least visit Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to go out there.
The thing about Dubai, man, that's the closest international airport to Afghanistan. So if you fly from Kabul, you fly into Dubai to catch whatever connecting flight, we all would, when we schedule our vacations, give ourselves 2 days to spend for that layover in Dubai.
Yeah.
You know, fly to Dubai, stay for 2 days, and then go home or go wherever you're going from there. You know, and that shit was, first of all, it's expensive as fuck. It's super luxurious and opulent out there. But then, like, we got, like, numb to Dubai. It was like, going to Dubai again, you know. I come to the States and everybody just can't wait to get there. And I'm like,
that's how it was, huh?
It was a layover spot.
That's exciting. Yeah, my little brother's in Japan right now, but he's in the Air Force, so he's been traveling all over. He just left Italy, and he went somewhere else, and now he's in Japan. And now he's a fucking nerd, like anime, all that. So he in Japan doing kart races in the street with fucking. With Mario costumes on.
Wow.
So they're playing actual Mario Kart.
Okay.
In Japan.
Man, the Air Force is, I got a lot of respect for the Air Force and all the armed forces. If any of y'all are listening, thank you for your service.
Yeah, appreciate you. Yeah, I wanted to join, but my grandma was like, no, boy. And I was like, all right. So I went to college, and I did terrible. I didn't do terrible. I was just like, this is not what I wanted to do. Mm. It was fun, though. But you know what was good about college? Motherfucker, when you get grants and shit, nigga, they give you fucking money in cash. Yeah, cash. As soon as, nigga, I ain't never had money, that much money in cash.
Everybody that I know that was in college had some kind of, you know, refund check or whatever, even cash coming to them.
That's how most people survive after like going to college and shit. They just keep getting refund checks and all that.
I don't know
and
what I'm the fuck I did wrong, because I never got a refund check in college.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, nigga. They should have gave me one.
I was asking people, like, how do y'all get set up on this low? Because
fast fuck.
You motherfuckers ain't even.
Well, if your parents make too much, depending on whose parents files, if your parents make too much, then you won't get nothing. But you know, my mama filed, and you know, I had some shit coming in, and I was like,
I remember doing the FAFSA and having to put my mama and my daddy, even though they were divorced, having to put both their information, and they both had, my daddy was police, and she had her job, so yeah, that fucking refund check.
Both of them did well, huh?
I used to get mad at y'all. Y'all be,
oh, nigga.
Versus office, come back with a refund
check. I didn't know what tax return was until I got older. Until I actually got my own tax return. Mm-hmm. Nigga, I was like, how you get a second Christmas, son? Nigga, I was like, that's fucked up, nigga. Just because the New Year's around, you get an extra bike? No. He was like, yeah, man. My mama got her taxes back. I was like, what the fuck is taxes?
What the fuck is taxes?
I don't know what the hell taxes is. Yeah, fucking moving into an impoverished neighborhood. Nigga, you learn about tax return. My dad and them, they don't get taxes back. They always got to pay in some shit. So, nigga, I never knew.
I've had a few years where I had to pay back.
I've never had to pay back yet. And I've loved getting taxes back. Motherfuckers going to give me kids
and shit.
You'd be
looking forward to some kind of tax refund.
Yes.
And then they'd be like, oh, nope, actually.
you owe this much. It's like, whoa. You motherfuckers.
You got to walk out of them H&R Block with your head down. Like, God damn it, I walk in this bitch
thinking I was going to come up. Not going to file this year then. That's going to happen. Nigga, I remember when fucking college gave me money. Nigga, I took that money and went to Georgia, son, for a week.
A lot of people like,
I'm out, yo.
I was jealous of my damn, everybody I went to school with. I got a tax return, I'm going shopping. I'm going to Padre. Bitch, I'm going to class.
I'm going to class, because this is what I have
to
do.
And then my work study right after that, bitch.
Wild. Wow, good. How long, you did you finish school?
Yes, in 2008 from Texas A&M.
Oh, nice. Now, what'd you major in?
English, creative writing.
Oh, okay.
Poetry.
Boom. Right there. Mm-hmm. Right there in the alley of knowing words and putting these words together in sequence. Mm-hmm.
That's the only way from what I do now, I can kind of justify going to school and studying that, because, I mean, now I work with words, but
yeah.
Otherwise, it's a degree going to waste. Anytime somebody asks me, I feel bad saying it. Like, I'm a comedian, but I have a degree in English.
Like, that's perfect, son.
But you
can put that on a resume. Nigga, Indeed.com is looking for any type of entertainment. You put that on a resume and then say you do comedy. Nigga, you have a degree and you do comedy. You get any type of host gig.
Does it really work like that?
Yeah.
You know, Amanda G is a lawyer.
Yeah, so is fucking Jonathan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if just having a degree and doing comedy is giving
anybody a leg up. Oh, no, it backfires like a motherfucker. It don't help for shit. And it's either you do this or you be broke doing this.
Yeah.
Until you get better. Yeah, nah.
If I'd have skipped college and started comedy when I started college in 2003, if I'd have like knew I was going to do comedy, I would have started then and not wasted my time.
I would have did it in high school. Yeah, I would have. Like, as soon as I found out about Dane Cook, like, that's when the comedy gears and everything started, like, dawning on me. Like, oh, nigga, comedians rule the world, son. Like, every commercial you see, nigga, is probably a comedian that's in that motherfucker. Like, shows, movies, nigga, sitcoms and shit. I'm like, damn, comedy is.
Remember back in the
90s,
every black comedian had a sitcom at some point?
Yes.
Mark Curry had one. Bill Bellamy had one.
Fuck DL.
DL, of course, Martin.
Fucking
Bernie.
Keenan Ivory.
But I like how they create their own shit. But the Wayans brothers had their thing. Steve Harvey. That Steve Harvey show was pretty funny.
I enjoyed the Steve Harvey show. Everybody fucked the Steve Harvey show. Nigga, that's why motherfuckers rap about the Steve Harvey lining. Nigga, like, came in there fresh.
Did you know that was a toupee the whole time?
It was a toupee the whole time? That's why it was so clean.
I think so. Because, I mean, it wasn't a bald spot in sight for that man. For him to be that old, And his hair was perfect, like a microphone perfect, top.
Yes.
You know,
like a straight up microphone top. Place. I want to yell into your head. So.
You know, he wasn't losing it in the front, and the back, or at the top, nowhere. So yeah, I realized he was wearing fake hair the whole time. And then when he just show up all the way bald, like
all the way bald, like you ain't
cut it down to a Caesar.
Yeah,
why you couldn't cut a Caesar?
This is a fresh bald head right here, sir.
Actually, it's been a bald head. He just let us see it for the first time.
Wow, son. Wow.
But yeah, you were talking about like how comedians get to go in all these other different avenues in entertainment, like commercials.
Yeah.
So many comedians have radio shows and sitcoms or podcasts. I hear some comedians doing voiceovers for commercials.
Yeah.
Not even funny stuff. Nope. You know what I mean? Just using their voice. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do, because I can't imagine myself only making money doing stand-up, standing up in front of people and telling jokes. But even as a comedian, like a comedic radio personality, a comedic media personality, comedic host,
jack of all trades, basically.
No, I mean, really, it's the same trade. It's just
a way to hustle. Different avenues of it.
A way to hustle the same trade.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, because I, like, motherfuckers is telling me, I think that was you telling me this, because everything that I do that, you know, that I'm starting to excel more at, especially with comedy and poetry, and then, you know, fucking all the other extra that I have going on, whether it's dancing, burlesque, or anything like that, you know, all that still comes into one little bundle, little package of me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I bring to the table, and it's more than just this stand-up. So if you want this, oh, I got this for you, too. So if you need acting, I definitely got acting. You need a monologue? I got 20 of them. Which one you want? You
it's
want
really something funny, your sad? Your career is not as a comedian, it's as an artist. It's
right.
Kyle Smith, the Maniacal Menace. So if you keep that in mind, you don't subject yourself to just doing comedy.
Right.
You know, you're an artist, and you're expressing yourself. One more. Sorry, I've been biting my fingernails.
I seen it. It was almost like a nervous habit, but it was like, nah, this is me. This is what I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to clean these nails up real quick.
I ain't nervous.
Yeah.
I could never be nervous.
Not anymore. It's so weird when people come up to you and it's like, oh, man, I couldn't do that. Hey, aren't you scared? Yeah. A little bit from time to time, but once you're in the mode and once you got people on your side, it's real easy. Real easy just to flow. It's just like talking at the CEO table.
I feel like once you, like, the first joke you write that's a hit that people like, is kind of the first time, like, it's when nervousness starts to leave, when you realize, okay, I'm actually, you know, not bad at this, you know?
Right.
Yeah, walking on stage with confidence, I think, is super important. I'm about to do some social media posts because we have...
Is that time?
The show tonight is between 3 and 5.
It's 4, This is a good time. So, I'm going to pick a picture myself. That's what I was planning this. I was planning this moment all day since you talked about it yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was gonna put a random picture up and then put some words on it.
And make sure people know that you're hosting.
Yeah.
Because that'll bring them out.
Bring them out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. True. Swizzy! Dun, 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 dun. So, yeah, this has been a very, very good time being back home. I'm glad to have been back home, man. This is that bullshit. The bullshit that taught me lessons is what I'm grateful for, because now I get to see what's out there. I've gotten to see what's past the tiger cage. I've actually peeked in the door, and I'm like, oh, y'all ain't doing nothing spectacular over here. So I'm able to go and do, it was a little reconnaissance mission. There it is. A little 9-month reconnaissance mission. And then I come back and be like, hey, man, they ain't worth the shit out there, son. We got this shit, man. It ain't nothing. You know, so, you know, not like it's a competition or anything like that. But
well, no, I'm glad you said that, because big markets like Los Angeles kind of intimidate me. So hearing you say you went there, you tamed the beast a little bit.
Yeah.
You realize it ain't that scary.
In the beginning, it's very intimidating because you're like, oh, man, this is where all the good comics are. This is where the Mecca is. Nah. Some comics are good there. Even the comics that do go up on a big stage are not that good. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, y'all don't have no family like this, like we do down here. That's gonna be like, oh, you need to punch this up. Y'all have other people that's gonna write for y'all or just take y'all shit. Down here, you don't have that. So, like, to be able to go up there and see that, and because nigga, my superpower is observance. Like, I can observe some shit and, take it and then read it and then break it down and be like, oh, this is what's happening here. It helps me get out of stupid situations like big brawls and all that. Mm-hmm. Being small, that's why the piggyback thing came up yesterday. That's why I got to get the fuck out of there, right? So, I got to go. So, I made sure, as I got out there, nigga, I recounted and I was like, oh, this is what's happening and this is what's going on? Okay. And, you know, from there, I really didn't care for what else was supposed to be going down there. I just didn't enjoy myself. Beautiful, though. Beautiful. And I'm grateful for my newfound knowledge of where my comedy career is going to take me. Or real. Just my entertainment career.
Okay.
Period. Yeah. Got some fresh palms and shit. Ooh, hot off the press. God damn it. Had me out there in think mode.
On that woke shit?
Yes.
You on that woke shit?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, made me go ahead and value life a little more. Look back and be like, nah, nigga, utilize what you got. And I'm like, all right, I will. Nigga, this black skin gonna make these white folks just a little bit upset. But I'm sorry. This is how I feel. Inside. So, you know.
Inside.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, hey, yeah. Well, let's get to our shit, man. We got a whole bunch of shit to do today. Uh-huh. Let them know where they can find you at, man.
Hey, man. I am easy to find both in person and online at whoisdcpaul.com.
There it is.
And whoisdcpaul on all social media networks. Look out for my first half-hour comedy special dropping later on this month. This is December 2019, by the way.
There it
is. It's called 85. This was in case you listen to the shit next year.
Yeah, right.
Because you're going to be in the past, listen to us in the future, but it's the present for you.
Yeah.
Either way, look out for my project. And thank you for the invitation to be on your podcast.
You man, know, like, thank you. Like, of course talking. You're going to have to be on here, man. We're about to get the whole crew on this motherfucker. We just going to keep doing what we're doing. That's it. Basically. And then when people do hear this, they can be like, oh, man, this has got a whole nother special out. And I didn't even know about the first one. Let me go check out the first one now. You know, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
This is dopeness in the making, man. And speaking of dopeness, I'll end this on that. I'll end it on I'm dope.
Facts.
Yeah. Me and my partner did it last time. I was just on it. I was on it and he did one of his poems and I just did one of my poems and I had to read it. But you know what? I'll just do it now since we're just going to end this here. I've hurt people. Not to be mistaken for evil, but no, we're not equal. My whimsical word weaponry is lethal. I huff and puff it out, Primatine mist to see through. Compact to combat R2-D2. Terminate to upgrade T2, T1000. Vocal vocabulary metaphorically arousing. My basic brain barely be browsing. Thinking about public housing. You bred the robber, but I be Robert Townsend. Meaning you take creation, but I create the mountain. I'm the youth that's bringing the fountain. Mm. They say there's limitations to this truth, but hey, who's counting? I got all this life to live, so ain't no time to be frowning. I'm clearly capable of cry a river deep enough for my feelings to drown in. So the sinister menace commence the clowning. I replenish in minutes, you still on the fence when the round ends. My taps is well connected, completed circuit means I'm grounded. My craft I'm consistently perfected since I found it. And when people come to my shows, they be like, hey man, pound it. That was some dope profoundness. And when they say dope, that means they loved every ounce of it. They say they like how the vibe makes someone to bounce a bit. Announce my wit, denounce the clip, copious amounts of piff. I plead the fifth. Sweltering sweaters, swimming swiftly, slipty, shifty, thrifty, nifty, fifty. When I'm a tad bit tipsy. And take a picture. Lifky quickly klepto gypsy, sneakily teach the creflo preachy. I'm peachy peachy, this is easy peasy. I please the evening like the prophet sprinkles the seasoning. Every bud gets a taste. This that cocoa leaf whip with the baking soda base. I'm dope, nigga. There it is.
Nice.
All right.
I like that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Very nice, I've been out nice. There been out there working. And a whole bunch of that came on. I was like, how am I gonna top that? And I was able to top it. So I'm like, oh. Fuck yeah, but man, this has been...
Wait, you're able to top it, but you're also able to bottom it? Got him!
Zing!
Zing, bitch. All right.
And that's what makes friendship friendship. Right there. That's been a good time. Man, this has been Tell Me a Joke, man. Guideline of Chasing the Dream. I've been your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Check me out on Maniacal Menace on Instagram, on Facebook, and fuckingmaniacalmenace.com. This has been me and the homie DC Paul. Until next time,
until
y'all.
Until next time, y'all.
Oh, real quick. What? I have to ask this question because for all the jokers out there, well, which joker do you feel as if you embody?
Man, I gotta embody one of them.
Either or. However you feel like interpreting it.
This last one, Joaquin Phoenix Joker, he's one to feel sorry for. Mm-hmm. And I'm not one you should feel sorry for. Mm-hmm. I didn't see Jared Leto. No? Was that Suicide Squad? Yeah. Or whatever it was. I didn't see that. Jack Nicholson and that second Batman, Batman Returns.
Batman. It was Batman. First Batman.
First Batman was Batman, you're right, Jack the first Nicholson. One.
Batman Returns with Heath Ledger.
And that was Catwoman and Penguin in that one. What was the second Batman movie? Because it had Catwoman and Penguin.
I think that was just Batman, though.
No, Batman was the one you're talking about with Joker.
No. The Heath Ledger Joker? The Heath Ledger Joker is a different...
What was the second Batman called?
I think it was just Batman Returns.
It was Batman Returns, right? Yeah. Batman Begins might have been a Heath Ledger. Yeah, Batman Returns the second one. I was right, nigga. Anyway, so the Joker from the original Batman movie is who I am. I had to embody one of them, and that's all I got. Just because he was actually maniacal and a menace. So there's that. Kyle had to take a phone call. And he didn't press the stop button.
All right. So. Nope, I got it.
Nope, I got it, bro.
That's where you stopped at. Talking to DC. Yeah. Well, all right, folks. Y'all have a good one.